How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. It's so good to see you. I've waited on you a few weeks.
I know. I kept like making the plans, and then something. I always look on my calendar like, oh crap, I got this going on, and I felt bad. Right. I was like, I hope she don't think I'm just avoiding her, because I'm not.
No. I'm a hard one to avoid because I just chase people down. Like
you have to do that. You have to.
Right. Well, because I'm busy too, so I don't take it personally. Because a lot of times, you know, I just forget and, you know, kind of back burner stuff or put it, you know, table it. And so I completely understand. So I don't usually take it offensive. Like people are trying to avoid me. I just think, well, they're busy and let me just keep reminding them.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm not shy. And I think that's what I say. That's why God picked me to do a podcast. I'm not skilled, but I'm not shy. So, so that's what it takes. You just have to be able to jump in there and go, hey,
well, there you go.
So how has your Saturday been?
It's been good. Getting ready for a trunk or treat at a church for tomorrow. So
I love trunk or treats, and I don't have any little kids anymore. And so I kind of, you know, missed doing that. And then for years after my kids were big, I did porch parties like for the neighborhood kids where I used to live at. And they're still talking about it. I'm a legend, I guess.
That's awesome.
The woman that bought my house, she said, now, what are these Halloween porch parties that all the kids are talking about? What do I need to do? So I told her, she said, they're all telling me what I have to do. And I was like, cool, that's great. So I hope she keeps that on. But this year I live in a new place and my dogs don't really enjoy my neighbors and the kids. And so I thought maybe I'm going to set out trick or treat this year because my dogs are not going to be able to handle it.
Right.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do your trunk up as?
We're actually doing like a drive-in movie thing.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. So, okay. Well, we have been I have been in prayer today, and I know that you have too, about this podcast. And I mean, I'm in prayer about every podcast because I tell people this is God's podcast. I'm just here and you're just here, but I'm not in charge. You know,
exactly.
This is like, it's like a Toby Mac situation. If you want to steal this show, I mean, it's your right. Show anyway. he doesn't have to steal it. It's his.
It's already his. Yeah.
It already belongs to him.
Right.
So tell me a little bit. First off, tell us, where are you from? Where are you at? Where are you living at? Where are you from?
Well, I actually live in a small town in East Tennessee. It's called Bean Station.
Bean Station?
Yes. Yeah. Bean Station.
That's my favorite so far. That's my favorite town name so far.
It's a small town. We got one red light. So, I mean, and we live pretty close to a bigger town, but we're off to ourselves enough to where it's not crazy here. So we got that small town feel, but you know, okay. If we need to go to town or something, it's right next to us. So.
Okay. Oh, yes. And were you born and raised there?
Born in Newport, Tennessee. So I've lived in Tennessee my whole life, just different areas here and there.
So you're a Tennessee boy then?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, I thought the Vols were going to beat Alabama last week. And I was pretty excited for y'all that first half. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think Nick Saban says to his boys at halftime? Because I think he threatens their mothers.
He's doing something that's scaring
them. That's what I've decided. That's right.
He's an intimidating looking guy anyway, I think. So,
last week, as I was watching the second half of that game, I said, what do you think that Saban does in that locker room during halftime? I said, he threatens their moms, their kids. I mean, what does he do? But he does something because they come back out and they have some new inspiration. He inspires them somehow.
Yes. I don't know what it is, but it's working. So
Whatever he does, because they definitely caught some inspiration last week. But I was pretty excited for Tennessee. Now, keep in mind that I am an Alabama girl. Well, kind of, I'm a like Kentucky Bama. My family's from Eastern Kentucky, but then I lived in south of Birmingham for years. So
Right.
I could flip. I flip back and forth anyway, my childhood and so my whole life. So I root for Kentucky basketball and Alabama football. And
There you
so
go.
I, right. So that's unusual for me to be excited thinking that Tennessee was going to beat Alabama because I Roll Tide. Most people would never, and they'll be mad at me for saying that. My Alabama family will be so offended, but there has to be some level of competition or it's not a sport.
That's true.
Right. Right. And I'm just like,
I think
when
Alabama's
Georgia,
just been too good for too long.
I think so. I mean, I'm like, when Georgia beat them, I was happy. I was like, well, good for Georgia because somebody else needs a win for somewhat for once. But
Exactly.
I was just going to be so excited for Tennessee last week. Like, all right, look at you guys playing, but you held on. So, anyway, so you, Tennessee boy, and playing guitar. Has music always been? Have you always done music? Like,
It's been a pretty big part of my life. I grew up in church. I'm a preacher's kid, so
okay.
they always say we're the worst. I think I turned out okay.
Right.
But I grew up in church, so at 6 years old, my dad actually started teaching me how to play the drums. So that was my first thing I started playing was drums in church. When I was 13, we moved here to Bean Station. We actually lived in Morristown, which is the town right next to Bean Station. So we moved here. I made a friend who plays guitar. And he had an old semi-hollow body electric guitar in his basement, asked me if I wanted it, and that's where playing guitar started. So he taught me like three or four chords. After that, my dad bought me a
That's all
little,
you need.
he bought me a poster which shows you where to put your fingers at, and I pretty much self-taught. So that's where it all started.
Do you still have that poster?
I don't.
Dang,
It's I
I
was
need it.
13.
I
I was
need it.
13.
Okay. I was gonna have you ship it up here to me. Put it on my wall. I need that
That
poster.
would be cool.
Right.
Should have said, I
Didn't
see,
know where to put my fingers. I always tell
yeah.
everybody I know five chords, but I own a capo. So we're in business,
That's all
right?
you need. Capos are amazing.
That's right. Five chords, but I own a capo, owns multiple. So
Yeah.
have you, and you were a preacher's kid. So have you always
Yes.
just kind of so God's always just been a big part of your life then?
He has.
But
I can say though, I was in the military. So I was in the Army from
okay.
2013 to 2017. And, when I was in the military, I was stationed in Germany for 3 years and then in Texas for about a year and a half. But when I was in the Army, I got out of church. I only met maybe one time. And that's when I actually started, picking up drinking. And at first, it started as, a couple here and there. And then it started more as using alcohol to help me forget about stress of the job and everything. So it kind of turned into a problem. But then after I got out of the military, I'd say maybe 6 months to a year after I got out, I quit drinking, just gave it all up and started going back to church. So I had my moment when I was out there doing my own thing, the whole prodigal son thing. But
Right.
God's gracious enough to bring us back to him and with loving arms, and I'm very thankful for that.
Sometimes over and over and over. In
Yes.
my case,
Same
I keep
here.
leaving. Keeps pulling me back, like one of those cartoons where like the person's trying to run, but the other person has their suspenders. That's me and God.
Yes, I get
Keeps
that.
pulling me back.
I get that.
Hang on.
It's all good.
We thought they were going to be good. Dude, that's
Kind of dogs do you have?
I have a border collie and a Dalmatian. That's the Dalmatian. He's bad to the bone.
I
He's my
bet.
baby. He is my baby, but he is bad to the bone. Yeah. He was just over here a second ago. If you saw my arm moving, I was petting him, trying to keep him satisfied, but he's at
He
the
can
window.
join
He
in. I don't mind.
doesn't like squirrels. He barks at squirrels. Like the talk like on TV, but my
Yes.
dog actually does it.
So how old are they?
I think he's four. The border collie's older. She's probably 8 or 9.
Okay.
And she's real. We live in a house on a corner. We just bought this house last year. And it sits on a big corner lot, which I thought, well, this is fantastic. You know, this house is a corner lot and it's got a huge lot, but
Yeah.
it's visible from all directions, even from the back. There's an alley that runs back behind. And so it's so visible from every direction that it's not working out great for my little dogs. They don't like it.
I
But
hear you.
it's the squirrels that get them. Now, what were we talking about?
Oh, like the trying to run away, but like they got a hold of your
Oh, the prodigal son. And I was going somewhere with that, but that's gone now. Seemed like I was going to say something about you being in the. Oh, you were talking about drinking. So I was going to ask you this huge controversial topic. And sometimes I like to bring up controversial just for fun, just for
Right.
funsies. What do you think about people, Christians that drink and then still go to church and they
Oh,
drink? Christians that think drinking is okay. What do you think about that? My grandparents would have never agreed with that. They are from
right.
Eastern Kentucky. They're Christian holiness people, and they felt like being a Christian was being a Christian. It was being set apart, and you did not do as the world did. It seems like I think that we're losing a lot of that.
I've growing up, I never, I was taught that, you're not supposed to drink. That's a hard question because I've always tried to look in the Bible where it specifically says, do not drink. I've seen where it says, do not drink to get drunk.
I can't find it either. And that's where I'm standing on that too, is it never specifically in the Bible. I mean, Jesus drank wine. And then for the people that say, well, that was grape juice, well, don't be stupid. That was
It's
obviously not
fermented.
grape juice.
It's
Fermented.
fermented.
It was wine. It wasn't grape juice. And the Bible actually says take a little wine for your stomach. And then I was actually told by a person, well, that was grape juice too. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's the fermentation of the wines what's good for your stomach, like fermented, like sauerkraut or kefir. The fermentation is what actually is good for your stomach. But then
Absolutely.
I think that that's a slippery road. And I only know because I've slipped down that road multiple times
Yes.
where, you're drinking. Now, if you are one of those people that can just have a glass of Chardonnay once a year with your steak or whatever, and you're good,
Exactly.
then that's fine. But I think it is definitely a slippery slope where, I don't usually talk about it, but that's something I struggle with. Now I haven't had a drink in a couple of months
Right.
because I can't drink. Because I want to, if it's in the house, I'll drink it. Now that's just a
Right.
very transparent. I've never ever said that on this podcast. I'm not a, maybe I'm an alcoholic. I don't know. But I
No.
mean, it's not something I don't think about it and have to have it every day, but I'll tell you this, if there's whiskey in the house, I'm going to drink it. And I'm going to drink
Right.
too much of it and I'm going to drink it till it's gone and that bottle of whiskey's going to be gone in 2 or 3 days and that's just. And so I
Absolutely.
realize, hey, I can't do that. I can't. And I don't think for me anyway was never a matter of thinking, oh, I'm going to go to hell. This whiskey's going to send me to hell. It was more like, man, this whiskey is making it hard for me to live an abundant life,
Yes.
making it hard for me to be a good witness, making it hard for me to do the things God wants me to be or be the person I want to be. Like it's just not who I want to be. So I don't know that it's necessarily a matter of thinking, hey, this alcohol is going to send me to hell as much as, Jesus said, I came so that you would have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
And
Yeah, I'm with you
so,
there. Like, I'm the same way. I think I wouldn't necessarily drink anymore because I know how I was with it in the past. And the same way, if I
right.
was to start, I liked how it felt. And I'm afraid to get back to that. Like, I don't want to go back to that. So I'm not even going to chance it really. So I just stay away from it completely.
And I think that's kind of where I'm at. That's what I've decided to do. But then at the same time, too, I think that the call to holiness, and this kind of ties into your whole song, and we're talking about with church, the call to holiness maybe our grandparents and our parents were so strict that we just swang, not we, me and you, but we kind of as a society in a church, we just swang that pendulum all the way over here then. Yeah. And started, we're going to do what we want and say what we want and dress how we want and act how we want. God loves us anyway. And there's grace for everybody because we don't have to wear collars up to here and long hair and long dresses all the time. And so we swing it back the other way. And I think that I thought, and it started that whole vineyard movement, we're all going to come into church barefoot and half naked and sit around on the floor cross-legged and, you know, and just believe that God's going to be there with us no matter what. And I did that. I've done that as a teenager. And then as I get older, I look back and I think, and, you know, I was just thinking the other day, Aaron, nobody ever had to ask my grandfather if he was a Christian. Nobody ever had to ask him where he stood, ever. Yeah. Nobody ever questioned his salvation because he took his salvation very seriously. He took his relationship with God seriously. He was very pious. He was very devout. And I think, you know, I never thought there would, because they were so strict. We weren't only allowed to watch movies that were rated G. If it was rated PG, out of the question. And so now, you know, not, we didn't listen to secular music. We didn't listen to Christian music that he thought was a little too extreme. Right. He didn't care that, you know, so, you know, like we were really raised some type of way. And so I can't believe now that I'm looking back thinking, man, that I miss, that I am missing that. Mm-hmm. Like the church has gotten in such a shape that I'm missing the piousness of my grandparents. But what are your thoughts on that?
The church has changed a lot, even from me growing up. I mean, where everything is just so advanced now. And I don't think it don't necessarily scare me for people who've been in church for a while because they know how it feels when the Holy Spirit moves. Because they've been to church without, you know, all the lights and the cameras and the production. But when you're using that and other methods to draw people in, I found a quote here. I actually read a book by Francis Chan called Letters to the Church. If you haven't read it, it's really good. But he's actually quoting somebody else named Alan Hirsch. And he said, if you have to use marketing and entertainment to attract people, then you'll have to keep them there on that same principle. So for a whole lot of reasons, this commitment seems to get harder year after year. If we focus too much of our attention on what people want, we'll only increase the amount of complaining. This is, now we have many people who genuinely believe their unhappiness is the church's fault. So as long as everything keeps advancing the church, if you draw them in with just using your talent, your production and your worship team, you have to keep up with the times in that, and then people will just start leaving if you don't. And I think that's what scares me about new believers in their walk with Jesus, because they don't know any better. So if they come in, and I feel like a lot of times we get confused with our emotions rather than the move of the Holy Spirit. So we think because a song makes us feel good, oh, that's the Holy Spirit moving, but it might not actually be true. So
right,
it's changed so much, and it's kind of scary to see so many churches using all these methods to draw people in. And it's almost like you're taken away from God and saying that he's not enough. So we have to think of our own methods to bring people in because the gospel is just not good enough. So it should never be that way.
Never. That's acknowledging the Holy Spirit, but not denying the power.
Yes.
Thereof. You know, oddly enough, this topic comes up over and over on this podcast, and I don't intend for it to come up. Now, I specifically ask you because of your song, hey, can you want to come on and talk about this song? I wanted to do a podcast with you anyway, but then I said, hey, I love this song that you have written, and we'll get to that. But so this one specifically came up, but over and over, I had a painter on, you can go back. Her name is Alicia DeWitt, and she lives in Paris, and she is from, her parents are originally Canadian, but she was born, I think, in Thailand. And they moved to Germany, and now she lives in Paris. She said, I think it was her that she said, well, the church always seemed, she said, I was never interested in church because it seemed like theater production. She said she kind of started giggling. She didn't want to offend anybody, but she said, you know, they turn the lights down really low and it's dark in there. And she said, and then they had the music and it just seemed like a theater production to me. And she said, I was just never interested in it. And I thought,
yes.
And that's from somebody who was raised in Christ. Her parents are missionaries and she saw it as a theater production. Imagine that. That's just kind of how the world sees that, you know, that you're turning the lights. Why are we turning the lights low? I mean, why are we manipulating? And she said that. She said it seemed, that's what she said, it seemed like manipulation to me.
Right.
And I was like, wow. And I hope, I don't know if that got edited out or left in, but I, that she hit the nail on the head. That's what it has always felt like to me.
Yes.
And I did, I don't want to offend churches that do this, but let's step back a second and let's look at our motivation for doing it. Why are we doing it?
Yes.
What's the point of that? It's manipulation. You say, well, it's darker, so it helps people relax and worship. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't need your help.
No.
You know, I'd like him to come in and just show up and kind of blow everybody's minds. But yeah, and that wasn't, I remember as a teenager, you know, it wasn't dark in the church house and we worship perfectly fine right there in the light.
Absolutely.
Right. So so tell us about your song. You've written a lot of fantastic songs and I've been on my Spotify repeat for days now. What you got this one song that I love, this new song you wrote. Tell us kind of why you wrote it. Tell us a little bit about where your heart is at, and then you can sing that for us.
Okay. Well, it's something that's been on my heart for a long time. I just didn't really know how to approach it. I didn't want to, you know, make anybody mad or offend anybody, but I mean, the gospel can be offensive to some people. It's something they don't agree with. But I've always felt like sometimes Sunday mornings, it's almost just a routine that we do. You know, we're there for the 90 minutes. We do our part, we worship, we hear the sermon, and we go home. But what are we doing outside of that? You know, worship is, it's also a lifestyle. You know, it's not just the Sunday morning meeting and singing four or five songs and hearing a sermon. You know, we're created to worship God. If you read in Isaiah 43:21, it says, the people I form for myself will declare my praise. I mean, there's just plenty of things in the Bible, or places in the Bible, where it tells us that we are created to worship him. And in order to maintain that lifestyle of worship, we have to do it on a daily basis. But I felt like we come in, we do our part, but are we serving outside of the four walls? Are we taking the commission that we were given seriously and making disciples? Or are we just keeping it contained within those four walls? And, you know, it's, you hear about the, golly, what is it? Where people, in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, where it says, for a time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. And if you hear a lot of pastors now, especially celebrity pastors, which is crazy to me, I think, to have the title of a celebrity pastor. A lot of their sermons sound like motivational speeches.
Yes.
So they'll give you the feel-good stuff, but they're leaving out a lot of things that are important, especially for new believers. You have new people coming in. You're drawing in thousands every week, and you're not telling them the consequences of their actions. You're telling them that God loves them as they are. They're accepted as they are, but we're not telling them that they also have to change in order to have that relationship with Jesus. So they think that they can live their lifestyle and then come in as they are and they're fine. Nothing changes. So that was kind of my motivation. You know, we need to get back to the true heart of worship.
Yes.
You know, we don't need all the lights. We don't need all the production. We don't need all that, because to me, God's enough. You know, the Holy Spirit is enough for me to stand up there and worship. He's done enough for me. I don't need to add to it. There's nothing I can add to it to make it any better or any more authentic. That's the thing. It's another thing too, is our worship now, I feel like a lot of it's not authentic.
Yeah.
We can get up there and we can, a lot of people, you'll see people worshiping like, man, those people can really worship. But worship is something that really happens internally. Yeah. We may show it externally, But if you're not feeling the worship inside, then it's really, I don't feel it's more as authentic.
Right.
So it's just kind of getting back to that true heart of worship, to what it should be and what it's really all about. It's just worshiping God for who He is, and that's why we were created. We're not supposed to go to church to attend a concert, like you said.
Right.
You know, turn the lights down. It was like a theater production.
Turn the lights
Have
down.
the lights and the fog, and it's crazy. Yeah,
Yeah,
and I'm not saying it's
it's a
horrible.
lot. It's not horrible. I mean, I but
No.
yeah, we don't necessarily need that. I was thinking that song, it's about 25 years old. Remember, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And there's
Yes, I
one
love that
line in
song.
that song, as I was praying today about this podcast, that song, but the line with the second verse where they say, "I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it." That
Yeah.
line just kept rolling in my spirit all day. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. The Holy Spirit has just had that line on repeat today,
Yes.
getting ready for this. So I it's that's kind of what I think he's saying. This is something we have made it.
Yes.
It's something
And
we
it's
have
just,
made it.
if you think about it, if all that was to be taken away, if you look at everything that's going on in the world now, I mean, as Christians in America, we have it comfortable here. We have it made. We have the freedom to worship. You think about all these other countries who have to go underground to underground churches, so because they can be murdered for what they do, but they love doing it. They don't have all the fancy stuff. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time before stuff like that starts happening here. So, what happens when all that's stripped away? What happens when we're not allowed to gather in a public area where we can produce it, put all over the internet and stuff? And
Right.
are people going to stay around? Or are you going to see, you know, falling away like never before seen? So
Yeah.
that's another thing that worries me. It's like people are coming for the entertainment, but as soon as something happens and that's taken away, are they going to stay, or are they going to leave?
Right. Yeah. Are we developing roots in new believers?
Yes.
Because without roots, a tree can't stand. I don't care
Right.
how big and beautiful. And we were just talking about that recently. I was sharing, having breakfast with a friend of mine, and we were talking about, so you're building up these big, beautiful churches, and they're like great, big, mighty trees. I mean, they
Yes.
bloom and they blossom, and you decorate them with lights, and they're just the most beautiful trees ever. But I promise you, if that tree that's 50-foot tall only has roots this deep, that tree is going to topple the very first time a
Yes.
strong wind comes, because it just
Absolutely.
is. And the opposite is also true. I have an apple tree in my backyard, and that apple tree stands at its height, 20, maybe 20 feet tall, maybe not even, maybe 15, probably more like 15 feet tall. It's not very tall. It produces about 1,000 apples every single year. That's a fruit-bearing tree, but
That's
it's been
awesome.
there for about 120 years. I would say the roots of that tree are enormous. So what you can't, oh, you can only see, you're thinking, well, that tree's only 15 feet tall, but the roots are deep enough that that tree has stood for the last 120 years, not only stood, but bears fruit every single year. So you have these churches that are focused on building these huge, we're using trees as a metaphor, but these big, beautiful entities, these big corporations. We have these foyers where we have Starbucks and we have donuts and we have bookstores, and we put our stuff on Facebook and Instagram, and we have, churches, they're so excited, they have, 40 million followers, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please have a lot of followers so people can see the gospel. But then what kind of roots? Let's focus on what the root of that is.
Yes.
What are your roots? Because if your roots, if you're not growing as much down as you are up, it should grow the same. You have to
Yes.
develop those roots and that foundation. Jesus uses it like the man that built his house on the sand and the stone. And so I agree with you. What's going to happen if all that's been taken away? Like that post that floats around on Facebook once in a while about there was a church in the Philippines, I think, and it flooded, and people still came to church anyway, and they're waist deep in water,
Yes.
and they just came anyway. And I think, would we do that? No, I could go ahead and tell you the answer is no, we would not at this
No,
point,
we
right?
close it down real quick.
Right. Yeah, we'd sense so. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you. So there's a lot, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I think you don't either. And I think that's a major part of the problem too, with those of us that can see this is the problem, is we think, well, we don't want to say that because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. I mean, I am trying to run a podcast. And so, you know, I'm never going to get any followers if I'm offending people. Goodness, I can't. And I think that I started thinking that, and then I realized I can't think that way. I will never intentionally offend a person. I'm never going to get on the podcast like I wouldn't in my real life and just start spewing nasty things and judgment. I'm not like that. But at the same time, I cannot back away from what is true.
Exactly.
Because I'm worried about offending somebody.
Yeah. You can't let it jeopardize, you know, your salvation.
Right.
And like you said, I'm not going to go out there and look for an argument or something, but when something comes up, we have to be able to stand bold and stand for God and what we believe. And I'd rather it offend somebody and know that I tried to tell them the truth than me not tell them at all. Because that's, I feel like part of that, that could lead to their salvation. That's a seed that's planted if we just obey God and tell people. But even if they didn't accept it, I know that I've done the part. I planted the seed. But I hate to know that was on my hands, that I could have pointed somebody in the right direction, but I didn't do it because I'm afraid it would offend them. So,
right.
It's hard to do because you start thinking about, man, the followers thing. I'm not going to have as many followers.
I'm not going to have as many followers. That's what our life has become. Yeah.
Yes. That's crazy. So I've tried so hard not to focus on that part of it. And well, I got to for a while where that was the big thing, just trying to build a name for myself. And now I've stopped myself and been like, what am I doing? Because I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm trying to make his name known.
And that's kind of where I just had to get to was, you know, this is, I was never my dream to start a podcast. I didn't grow up. Right. Thinking, I'm going to be a podcast host. God asked me to do it. I did it. Why am I trying to dictate how it goes now? If I only have 120 followers, the whole entire rest of the length of the podcast, it's not mine. What do I, it doesn't matter to me anyway. And, you know, I think at some rate, we are so worried about offending people all the time. And, what I was trying to think, I can't remember who it is, but if we, you know, the, I was reading recently Fox's Book of Martyrs because somebody had brought up, it was, I can't remember who it was that they tied to a stake. Do you remember? And they said, and then the fire would not, the fire literally went into a flame around him. And they had to pierce him with a sword, and his blood ran down and put out the fire. But the sword pierced, got him. But I can't remember his name. And he, you know, they said, you know, whoever it was, I can't remember the person that said, you know, we don't want to kill you. Deny Christ now. Yeah. And we won't kill you. We don't want to have to do that. And he said, let's see, how did he word that? For 80 years I've served him, and he has never done, he's never been anything to me but fair and just and faithful. Or I don't remember the exact quote he said. So what, I'm not going to turn my back on him now.
Right.
And I think, man, these are people. So anyway, what happened was somebody was asked, we were talking about that story, which is not in Fox's Book of Martyrs, by the way. So, but I got me looking at Fox's Book of Martyrs for it. And I read a couple more stories and I thought, man, these are people that were willing to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ at the cost of their own life, and not in an easy way. Not in like, you know, we'll, you know, now we think of people on death row and dying as being easy. You know, you get lethal injection, you don't even know it. No, this was horrible deaths. And they knew that it was going to be painful. And they still would not deny their faith. And I sat here and wept and thought, God, what condition is my heart in when I'm afraid to stand up for what I believe in on social media because I'm afraid it might cost me a follower?
Yeah. I've been there before. You kind of get that guilt trip. You're like, man, you got people out there dying for your name, and it's, and I'm here afraid to lose followers on Facebook.
Afraid to lose a follower. Yeah. And so I thought, wow, that's a an incredible, thing. And I hope that it never comes to that in my life. But then you think, well, what would I do? I hope, and these people considered it an honor, like, hey, I get to be martyred for my king. That's an honor. And I think, man, those people are amazing. Those are amazing people. So yeah, that's and so there's two books now we've mentioned. So people on the podcast, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's a really, really old book, really will fuel your faith though, really will get you going. So,
Awesome. And
okay.
also,
So
one
go
more
ahead.
book I'll throw in there just to kind of
Okay.
help out.
Well, I love Francis Chan. I haven't read that particular book, but I really
That's really
enjoyed him.
good.
So yeah, he's a good author.
But the next one is A.W. Tozer. I love A.W. Tozer. The Purpose of Man. And that's just basically how the purpose of man is to worship God. And it's the whole book is about how we're
Okay.
created to worship Him. So I've been
Yeah.
reading that too, and it's really helped. It's just
Yeah.
crazy how all this has fallen into place.
That's awesome.
You said other podcasts have brought it up, and then the song, and then I'm reading all these other books. I'm like, this is crazy how it's all coming together.
It feels like that's kind of what God is wanting to say to people. And the last week I visited with Noah Ray Tatum, and his podcast hasn't come out yet, but he was the one, and he's in Michigan. And I sent him a text that said, I thought maybe if he, I didn't think about this earlier, but I just a spur of the moment, if he wasn't busy tonight, I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool? I could have him jump on and we could all have this discussion because he had the same, and his conviction was just unbelievable for this subject and his just his heart for the Lord and his heart for church and his heart for worship was just unbelievable. But I knew it was a long shot. I mean, how many times are you gonna Saturday night, 6 o'clock? Hey, what are you doing? You want to jump on a podcast?
Especially with college football going on, it's hard to get
Right.
people on here.
So, okay. Well, you want to play us a, and you wrote this, right?
I did.
And when did you, was this recently? This is a new song, right?
Yeah, this is the most recent one that I finished. I have like three or four more in the making, but this is the most recent completed one, so
Okay.
absolutely.
Traded truth in entertainment. The production and the lights, it's all appealing to their eyes. 90-minute motivation, not a minute more, or they'll be walking out the door. And we take it away. take us back to a place when we were singing your praise, always seeking your face. Let our worship be true in everything that we do. It's all for you. So here we are with open arms, give us clean hands, pure hearts, Lord, all we need is you. Take away anything that doesn't bring you glory, Lord, all we need is you. Lord, all we need is you.
Oh, there you go.
So I have listened to that song and just wept and wept and worshiped. I love it. It's I mean, I just love that so much. So that right now is just on, like if people want to hear that, is it uploaded on YouTube?
Yeah. I have a YouTube channel. It's Aaron Justice Music.
Yeah. That's what Facebook. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because
all my videos are on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff too. So Aaron Justice Music.
We'll put all those links in the podcast description too, but I was just thinking that song is not on Spotify yet, is it?
No, huh?
I didn't think so.
Or anything.
Right. Cause at this point, cause when I listen to it, I've just been popping on YouTube and playing it. And, it's on the Facebook page too. If you scroll and scroll and find it, you can pin it. So it's at your top, but, I have that one on. That's, I love it so much.
Thank you.
And then, there's another one that you sing that I love too. Can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but God has sent some wonderful people on this podcast that actually, you know, let me just be real honest with you. I don't listen to K-Love and haven't for some time now.
Wow.
I just, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about it. But I, you know, I just kind of left that phase a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to find Christian music that I enjoy, that I like, that ministers to me, that speaks to me. A lot of times I'll pop back over and listen to old school Hosanna Integrity just because I was raised on that. All those albums are on Spotify, by the way. You could pop on there and get you on some Ryan Cannoli and just be dancing in your kitchen and praising the Lord. So anyway, but this podcast has done amazing things. Like, hang on, you know, I'm trying to find your, If It Wasn't for Jesus, that's the one.
That's the one I'm working on right now. I've only got like a verse and a chorus to it right now, but it's still in the works.
I love it. That was it when I heard it. So that kind of stopped me. Yeah, I knew I'd find it if I'm busy scrolling. But so the purpose of the podcast, you know, what I would think is, I being from Appalachia, I would, I hit friends with all these Appalachian artists, you know, like I was Facebook friends with Tyler Childers and Sonora May, his wife, years before anybody knew who they were, really.
That's
you know,
cool. So,
and all these people all support each other. Now, let me talk about they, and you know, because you're Eastern Tech, these Appalachian artists, man, they go to each other's shows, they wear each other's t-shirts. You understand? Like,
very
like
supportive.
Tyler Childers will wear other people's merch from Appalachia. They really are super supportive of each other. They get on each other's Facebook posts and they say stuff, and they're always doing shows together. And I would think, man, wouldn't it be really cool if Christian artists would do this? But I would just scroll on. But every time I saw it, you know, it would like spark a little envy in me. Kind of would think, wouldn't it be really awesome if Christian music people, Christian indie artists could support each other this way?
Yes.
And, you know, I've been thinking that for a few years because I've been watching, I have watched this whole mountain music thing kind of just rise right up. And then one morning, not too many mornings ago, I was sitting here at the breakfast table and scrolling through Facebook. And again, they were all supporting each other. They're all doing stuff together. They all do campfires together. They all do cookouts together. They all like each other. They're all friends with each other. And I thought, wouldn't it be really cool if some Christian indie artists could be friends and support each other? And the Holy Spirit said, you need to start a podcast and have on some Christian indie artists. And I was like, what? Me?
Awesome.
I don't think so. And, but I knew that I'd heard the voice of God. And so I thought, well, I mean, how do you start a podcast? So I've never even listened to a podcast. I didn't even like, how do you start a podcast? Right. And who would come on anyway? But it's been better than, and I thought, well, surely this already been done, right? There's a zillion podcasts. This can't, this has to already have been done.
Wow.
So, but turns out not really. And everybody was very open to it. And it's really, God has really kind of blessed it, and it's just going to get better. But how cool. So when I see things like people connecting, I think that makes me so happy, because I think yes. that we should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we're supposed to encourage people. We're supposed to encourage each other and lift each other up as the body of Christ. So,
right. Like, we are we're supposed to be family members, right? Mm-hmm. That's as I interpret that, like, aren't we supposed to be a family, like one body, many members?
Yes.
And so I always tell people, you know, well, we're bound by the blood of Jesus. That's yeah. Should be a pretty strong bond.
That's as strong as they get, I think.
Should be.
Should be.
In theory. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's something that just hasn't been really taught and people don't really understand that? I mean, Jesus actually said, when they said, your mothers and sisters are outside, he said, these are my mothers.
Yeah.
This is my family. Now, he loved his family, and I'm sure that he did eventually let them in and see what they wanted. But I think he was trying to get a point home that this is the family now, when you have been grafted into the body of Christ. Do you think that's not being taught? Like, are we not comprehending? Like, I comprehend it, obviously, and you do, but just say the mass majority of church in America.
I would hope so. Because, I mean, it's one of the most important things is the body of Christ and how we can come together and just how we're so much stronger together. Like I said, how we're supposed to build each other up and encourage each other and help bear each other's burdens, mourn with those who mourn. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job at that. Now, as far as people taking it and actually applying it to their lives, that's another thing. Well, like I said, I think most churches do a pretty good job of teaching it. But other than, like I said, you never know the individuals who actually take it and apply it to their lives is probably more of the problem than us teaching it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And
because everybody's so caught up in their own lives and their own situations, and we forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're too focused on our own lives. And so I think that's what a big problem is. Everybody's just so busy now.
Everybody's so busy, it's
nonstop, and that's our measure of success according to society. The busier you are, the more successful you are. But that takes away time with not only your church family, the body of Christ, but it actually takes time away from you and the Holy Spirit, and it interferes with that when we can't even take 5 or 10 minutes out of our day to just stop and pray and worship on our own. We're too busy to do that because we have such a tight schedule with everything going on. So society has really done a number with what we do with our time and how we spend that time with God.
So give people advice on where to squeeze those moments in, those quiet moments with God. How do you squeeze that into a busy schedule?
One of my favorite things is worshiping and praying on the way to work. Listen to some good worship music on the way to work. It gets you really set for the mood, praying. Any downtime that you may have, it don't take much. Take 10, 15 minutes out of your day to just stop and find a quiet place and be alone with God. Not necessarily have to say anything, but just listen for his voice. And I think that's another thing too, is we've stopped listening for his voice. We pray for things we need and stuff, and then we stop it right there. We don't give God time to respond back to us. And so we're missing so much when we don't listen for his voice. So just taking that time 10 to 15 minutes here and there throughout your day to just stop, find a quiet spot, and just pray, worship, and listen for his voice.
I love that. And I think you're right. I think the car is one of the very best places
Yes.
to
I'd
spend
be
time with
belting it
God.
out in there. Just
Right.
in there crying. I'm sure people wonder what's going on. You just hear that song that comes on and you're like, oh.
I have actually, because I've done it, so I recognize it. I was stopped at a red light here in Lexington, Kentucky a couple years ago. A woman had her hands thrown up. She was crying. I was like, I feel you, sister. I've been there, right?
It's great
That's
and
what
it's
they do.
beautiful. It really is. We
Right.
can't stop and think what people are thinking about us. It's not important.
Right.
What's important is getting that time in. That's the most important thing.
And tell people if you have a moonroof, you can open it and then you can lift your hand all the way up.
Yes. Let everybody hear it.
That's right. Let's just go ahead and yeah. But yeah, just find those quiet moments. I think you're right. And the car definitely commute. And if you have a longer commute, turn that into a blessing instead of,
Yes.
and I know that it's exhausting, long commutes. I've had them, everybody's done it, but turn it into a blessing and think, well, this is, an hour each way. This is 2 hours a day I get to spend in the presence of God. And I'll tell you, if
Yes.
you'll take those 2 hours, if you have an hour commute or even 30 minutes, that's an hour a day. And if you will get alone in the presence of God in your car, it'll change your life. And
Yes.
so
You
that
don't
can
have to have
really.
music on. Just have it quiet and just listen for his voice.
You just listen. So that can be a huge blessing.
Yes. And I'm
So
guilty. I
you're
don't do that all the time. There's days I'm
right.
like, man, I haven't stopped enough to even pray a simple 5-minute prayer. And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I've taken time for everything else. And then I lay down at night and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't even,
Right.
thanked him for another day. It's just simple things, that we can just stop and because it's a relationship, like any other relationship, in order for it to work, we have to communicate. We have
Right.
to have that communication for our relationship with God to work. So it's got to make those moments.
He is a parent, and so he's your father. And as a parent, you understand your kids and you see their heart. So, I don't feel like he's not sitting, in heaven on a throne with a big zapper getting ready to zap you because you did not
Right.
spend time with him today. And I heard a preacher say one time, a celebrity preacher, which let's not even get started on how I feel about TV preachers. We don't have time. But
Yeah, some of them are
it's
out
a,
there.
yeah, but he actually said right on TV, if you're not reading at least one chapter every day in your Bible, you're not a Christian and you're not going to heaven. And I thought, how? And I stopped. It stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, I actually prayed right then that God would give people wisdom to know that that's not true. There's nothing
Right.
wrong with reading the Bible. It's a beautiful thing. It's God's letter to you. These are letters. This is a book. It's the best book ever. And, but that is so much condemnation and so much just religion instead of relationship.
Yes.
That how can you can't find that in scripture. You can't find that in scripture. And so I feel like if you can't back up with hard scripture what you're saying, you shouldn't be preaching it, and especially on television and
Right.
telling people, wow. And it kind of broke my heart because I thought I knew it wasn't true. I heard it and just thought, well, that's not true. But I knew that
Yes.
there were people that would be condemned by that, and that
Right.
hurt me.
Trying to scare them into it. I get that. It's crazy.
And that hurt me so bad. But yeah, because people get busy, and this preacher went on to say, not a verse, not a passage, a chapter, at least one chapter. And I thought, well, that's not really up to you. And I remember a time in my life where I had a verse that I read, and it ministered, that one verse ministered to me in such a way that I read that verse every day for over a week, just that one
Yes.
verse. And that verse sustained me because it was what I needed in that time of my life, in that moment. And so it was so funny when I heard him say, not a verse. I thought, well, I know that's not true because God used that one verse to minister to me every day.
Absolutely.
And it changed that situation, or it changed the way that I perceive that situation. if it
Yeah.
didn't come in and fix the situation, sometimes it'll fix you. Do you find that to be
That's
true? Like,
right. And that's why they call it the living word. I mean, today it's relevant no matter when. It's the number one way that God speaks to us is us reading his Bible. I do think it's important to read it, but as far as going to say that you need to read this much a day or you're going to die and go to hell, that's a little far-fetched. But I mean, if
it
you're
was
taking
out there.
time to read it, because there'll be times I'll be reading, a couple chapters and I'll get, like you said, you'll come across a verse that just pops out at you. I'll get those all the time. I just read it over and over and over because it tells us to read his word and hide his word in our hearts. So you'll come across those verses that just really pop out at you. And like you said, it was able to get you through whatever you're going through that week. And it's one of those you've memorized and you can always go back to. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that one because the
I
same
mean,
way I.
I was loving that verse that couple of weeks. I was writing it down, posting it on my fridge. I mean, it was
Yes.
So it really ministered to me in that time period. And then there's other times where you might read 4 or 5 chapters a day, and then you have times where you're going to read one verse, and then you may have days where you don't pick up that Bible at all. Does it You're not going to hell. That's not the defining line. Like, that's not one of the prerequisites, and I think that we feel like that there are these this list of prerequisites, things that we have to check off. We got to get in and got to get in. And I think, man, I mean, what makes it, there were the scripture in the Bible where, Jesus gives this parable where people stand before God and they say, "Hey, in your name, we cast out
Yes.
demons and heal the sick and raise the dead." These were two men that knew how to harness the power of the name of Jesus. It's a powerful name, but they had
Yes.
figured out how to harness that power and use it. And they weren't even using it for themselves. They were literally using it to help
Yep.
others. And God still said to these two people, "Depart from me. I don't know
Yep.
you. And you're over here. You're not getting in." And I think, wow, then what is the prerequisite then? Like, what, if these two people, I've never cast out a demon or seen a lame
No.
person walk, right?
Right.
So I think, wow, what separates, like, what's the line? And I think it has to be relationship. It has to be
Does.
relationship. And because I was actually contemplating this, thinking, wow, what, I mean, what, why would I go? Why would I get in? Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm nothing special. I don't have anything going for me. I'm not out here casting out demons. So I was thinking about that story, thinking, well, then what have I done? What have I done that I would get in? And I asked my son, "What do you think?" We were talking about heaven. He said, "Mom, you're such a good person. If you're not getting into heaven, nobody is. You're such a good person. You've done so much good stuff." And I said, "Are you kidding? I'm a filthy, rotten person. I'm not even a good person." And he said, "What do you do that's bad? You don't do anything bad." So we were talking about this, and I just kind of carried on with him. But I was hiding this in my heart, thinking about this, like, God, what would I do? What have I done that you should choose me? Like, who am I that you are mindful of me? And lo and behold, the next day after I was contemplating this and having this discussion, watching Instagram, scrolling through, and this preacher comes on, preaches at in Colorado. And he said, "You can't be saved through works. If your works are enough, then you don't need salvation. And if you need salvation, then your works will never be enough." And so there's two ways in. You can either be saved from works, but you better make sure your works are per well, it, there's only one way in, but hypothetically, if the church, if you're thinking there's two ways in, if you're thinking you're going to get saved by works, you better make sure these works are perfect and on point.
Yes.
Right?
Right,
But if you're
exactly.
and your works will never be perfect and on point, ever.
No.
And so if you can leave that mindset and you think, okay, well, I am here to admit that I'll never be able to do this, then you have to jump to this camp where you say it's not by works, but by faith alone. And then if that's the case, if this is the camp you're going to live in, it's not by works, but by faith alone. He said, then why are you concerned? Why are you striving, thinking that you're not good enough? And I thought, man, of all the things that, you know, I was just contemplating, because I was just like, God, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it's not about me.
Exactly.
Amen.
And that's what we do. That's what we're human. We make it about us, not meaning to. I mean, it's with a sincere heart that we feel that way, but we got to come to back. It's about him, you know? I know the Bible also says, you know, faith without works is dead. So, but the works alone will not get you into heaven. You got to have faith, because faith leads to that salvation.
Right.
And then through that salvation, you walk with Christ, you start, you know, growing your relationship with him, and you start doing all these works and, you know, serving people and just loving people the way that Jesus did. It all comes together, and it's just a process, an ongoing, lifelong process that I don't think we ever really complete. I mean, you don't finish until it's done, until your time comes, and he says, you know, my good and faithful servant, welcome home and stuff. So it's an ongoing process that we get to learn about God and what he can do for us.
Right.
And what we can do for him. Not just what he does for us, but more about what we can do for him.
Right. Right. And what we can do for others. And it's a gospel of love. I think I've said that a couple of times, and I don't mean that in the frilliest of ways. Like, you know, you can do whatever you want. God loves you anyway. God does love you anyway. That's a fact. But, you know, if you can do all of the things right, you can go to church and you can pay your tithes and you can listen to Christian music and, mm-hmm. and you can read your Bible every day. But Paul said, if you don't have love, then you're just nothing. Without exactly. love, then you're nothing. And so this is a gospel of love, for God so loved the world, you know, and it is out of the love of Jesus that he did what he did. And so this is a gospel of love. You have to love your neighbors. You have to love yourself. You have to love your enemies. Ooh, and that's a big one.
That's the hard one.
That's the
those who cut you off in traffic, that's mine. Traffic right. is a big one too.
Right. You have to, the Bible says, to consider in humility, consider others better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now that seems to go against everything that we're taught.
Oh, everything in the Bible is countercultural. Jesus was the most countercultural right. man in all time. You know, it's, we go against the flow, and that's what separates us from everybody else.
That's what I used that scripture for somebody one time, and they said, I just can't. I lose my religion in traffic. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. And they said, there's not a Bible scripture about it. I said, there is. It says in humility, consider others better than yourself. And so if you consider other people better than you, then you would know that you're considering, you think that he's cutting you off. He's not cutting you off. It's really his place. Let him have it.
Right. There you go. It's perspective. That's what it is.
Perspective. That's his spot. That was his spot all along. He's better than you. Okay. I don't care who he is. He's better than you. She's better than you. You know, just let her, she's going to get the last pink lipstick. She's better than you. Let her have it. And then people, she's not better than me. That's what the Bible says. In humility, consider others. Don't do anything out of vain. What is it? Don't do anything out of vanity or strife or conceit, but in others, in humility, consider others better than yourself. That's a hard place to be. To think they're better than me, because you know you don't, you know, that's a hard thing to stop, and because there's always going to be that part in your brain that you're looking at somebody who's, you know, not made the best life choices,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking there's no way she's better than me,
right?
Right. That's what that part of your brain's going to kick in. Right. That's human, right? And that's not what Jesus said. So that's kind of a.
That's like a song I wrote called Love Like Jesus Does. I don't know if you've heard that one or not. It's not recorded or anything. It's on my YouTube channel and Facebook. But that's what that one's about. I mean, you never know what people are going through. People are going to be mean to you, but you still got to love them. You know, the same way that Jesus loved people. He loved those who hated him. He loved the ones who nailed him to the cross. You know, he forgave them as they were mocking him. And we got to have, I know we'll never have that love, but we got to strive to love like he does. And it's not easy. And, you know, the ones that are hardest to love, they're the ones who need it the most. Because, like I said, you don't know what situation they're in, what they're going through. So, but that's what that song is about, Love Like Jesus Does, if you want to check that one out.
I do want to check that one out. Yeah, I love is the only thing that's gonna change is love is the only thing that changes people. Condemnation and judgment, anger, that's never changed anybody.
No.
So, you know, as a Christian, this is to all the Christians that watch this. If you want to change the world and you want to change people, you want the people around you to change, love's the only way to do that. Telling them everything they do wrong, that's not gonna change them. And I told a woman that she was having trouble with her spouse, with her husband, and she said, he does this. And I said, you need to love him. Like, do be a servant and watch him change. And your kids too. Love them. Be a servant. Watch people change, because love is the only thing that changes. Making a list of every single thing your spouse does, it gets on your nerves. That's not gonna change them.
No,
Right?
no.
That's gonna,
That's just
you
gonna
know,
remind you.
that's gonna lead to other things. Change, not,
That
I mean, it might change, it will change things, not for the better, but
may lead
that's
to domestic violence. I mean, you never know.
right. That's hard to think. I just need to love people, even that don't agree with me. Just love them and move on. Okay, well, we are going to I'm gonna let you go, and it has been wonderful having you on, and I will let you know when this is gonna air, and if I can ever do anything for you, all you gotta do is holler, because I'll do it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a great night.
You as well.